You're listening to Talk the Rock with your host, Kayla Darroch. Today we have a show. Well, the first part of the show is about Sami people who taught some Alaskans how to herd reindeer. And then we have, and they can give a better explanation of what I just said, then we have a person to speak about the swim team at the high school. So who can explain to me a little more eloquently about the Sami people and the role as reindeer herders?
Well, the whole thing started because the native people were, a lot of them were starving to death. They had very little food source. And so they got together and with people of influence got money from the United States to bring over as an experiment Sheldon Jackson, who was the commissioner of education at the time, to bring over herds of reindeer and teach the Eskimo how to herd the reindeer and use it as a source of food and many other uses also for the reindeer. And the first bunch came over in, it was 1895, I believe. 94, yeah, 1894. And that was just an experimental station. And in the meantime, the United States had brought the reindeer over from Russia. And because it was easier on the reindeer, not such a long trip. And the herds were building. But the work situation wasn't too good with the Russian reindeer herders trying to teach the Alaskan natives. So they decided to try something different, and they got the money from the United States Treasury and working people. And Sheldon Jackson, who was the commissioner of education at the time, was able to make arrangements to bring the Sami, the first group, over as an experiment to see how it was going to work, to teach the Eskimos how to herd reindeer. And it was going well, working well, so he got enough money to bring over the second bunch, which was quite larger. It included the women and children. And there was a total of how many? Sherry? Yeah.
Oh, in 1898, the Manitoba brought over 113 people, 539 reindeer, sleds, dogs, reindeer moss, harnesses, everything they needed to do reindeer herding here.
And before we continue, this is actually the reason we're talking about this today is because there's an exhibit at the Baranoff Museum, and you guys are here to speak to some of the members of the public about this.
Yes, yes, uh-huh. We've been speaking there, and we'll be speaking more. Is it tonight we're going to be speaking at the museum?
Thursday
we'll be speaking again at the museum.
And the exhibit has been up for about a week, I think, since Friday.
Yeah, since Friday. And most of those articles are from my family.
Oh, really?
I have Grandma's reindeer harness in there and many pictures of the reindeer herders. My Grandpa Spain was a fantastic reindeer herder. And they worked. Reindeer just have been working with reindeer for centuries, the Sami people had. They were not called Sami then. They were called Laplanders. And they later came up with the name Sami, which included the not only Norway, but Sweden, Finland, and also parts of Russia. And they prefer to be called Sami now. But Alaskans were known as Laplanders. I have no problem with being a Laplander. That's what my mom was called. And these were wonderful people. They were so kind to their animals and to their families. And they really, since they had been doing it for centuries, you know, bringing the knowledge down to the new younger ones, it's a very interesting and touching story about how the Sami people came to Alaska and helped the Eskimos learn how to do successful reindeer husbandry. And it's a touching story because there were a lot of unfortunate happenings later. I'm going to let my daughter kind of expound on that because she's been working with it for several years. So I'll let her take it from there.
Well, why don't we go ahead and introduce ourselves?
Okay. Yeah. I'm Lois Stover. I'm from the Twitchell family. And Esther?
Yes. I'm from her older sister, Twitchell family, but I like her. I'm half Sami.
Yes. Our mother was full Sami. She was born in Alaska, and her mother was born in northern Norway, in
Kautokeino.
And I was able to go twice back to Kautokeino and find my relatives.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Okay. I'm Cherie Biddle. I'm Lois Stover's daughter. And currently I'm a UAA student. But I really enjoy sharing the Sami story. I worked at the Alaska Native Heritage Center for 3 summer seasons, and this was my favorite part of what I did, was sharing this story. And I also enjoy sharing it in the schools. I was a teacher's assistant in Anchorage, and hopefully I'll finish my degree next May and be a teacher and be able to share the story often with the students.
Yeah, I hadn't been really familiar with Sami people before just recently. Is this a well-known part of Alaska culture?
Depends who you talk to. The majority of people do not know about the Sami story, about the Sami people coming from Norway, although one very famous Sami person, Samuel J. Balto, came on the Manitoba in 1898, and he's the person that the dog Balto was named after.
Oh, wow,
so
okay.
It makes a full circle connection.
Yeah, there's still so much I have to learn about Alaska culture. So it's sometimes hard to judge, like, what is the more obscure parts of the culture and what everyone knows already. So hopefully other people are, unless they already know about Sami people, they'll be enlightened by this. And could you please introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Pearl Johnson. I'm originally from White Mountain, Alaska. And right now I sit on the board of directors of the Sami Cultural Center of North America in Duluth, Minnesota. And that organization is responsible for the exhibit that's currently at the Baranoff and at the library here in Kodiak.
Oh, wonderful. Could you give me a little background on the exhibit?
The exhibit was curated. We had a wonderful lady named Faith Field that really was one of the key components of a startup of the Sami reawakening in North America. And it was through her energy and her forceful nature that she was able to garner and find Sami people in North America. And she's basically responsible for the exhibit that we have. She was able to use her family and knowledge from her family and people that she knew. And she found many Sami people, and Lois is one of the ladies that she worked with and got to know. And this exhibit has also been, because of Faith, this is the second time to Kodiak, is it, Lois?
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's been in Kotzebue, it's been in Nome, it's been in Anchorage. Right now we've got, as we just said, we've got the exhibit here in town at the Baranoff Museum, and parts of it are at the library. But currently it's also on exhibit in Aitie Museum in Jokkmokk, Sweden. We also have an exhibit in Treviso, Italy. And so as people need or as people want and request the exhibit, they work with Duluth, Minnesota, to have the exhibit. And I think even Philadelphia this year wants to have this exhibit. So
could you give me a rundown on what it means to herd reindeer? How is that different, for instance, from herding other livestock?
Well, the reindeer, you know, if you have them in the right place, they pretty much take care of themselves. You just have to learn their habits so you can work along with them. They didn't have to carry food for the reindeer because the reindeer live on reindeer moss. And so they could just take their hoof and just push the snow and ice away and find their own food. Whereas with dog teams, you have to take food for them. So it made it easier on the Eskimos and the Sami people in that respect. Also, they are prolific. You know, those herds just kept building and building, and the Eskimos and the Sami people had pretty much the same lifestyle, so they just got along real well and had high respect for each other. And, my grandma made the best coffee in the world. My dad said he could smell her coffee from 2 miles away. So they always had a little pouch made from reindeer skin that would reindeer leather, actually, that they would keep their coffee in. And they used pulkas, which were a sled that was kind of shaped like a canoe. And I remember seeing them as a little girl standing up against the trees. They would take the pulka and stand them up against the trees so that they wouldn't get full of snow. And they could bundle it up and tie it, and it wouldn't get wet, and it wouldn't tip over in the snow. And people could even ride in it. You know, you'd have to scoot yourself in and tie it up, but the people up there were so appreciative. The Eskimos were so appreciative of the help they got from the Sami, and they just worked together and still do. You know, they have a high regard for each other, respect each other's customs and feelings, and I've been fortunate enough to go back and meet some of my relatives in northern Norway. In fact, I even raced a reindeer, and I won because I didn't know how to make him stop. He just kept running and running, and they had to chase him down. So, and then when they chased him down, and I was trying to get out, he took off again, and here I am. I'm out of the sled, but I'm just bouncing along on top of the snow on my belly. But I was dressed in a warm parka, so it didn't hurt a bit. And everyone thought it was so funny. I mean, my dad was there, and my Sami friends were rolling in the snow. It was so funny. They were laughing so hard.
You probably looked like a seal.
Yeah, I did. I did, because I was wearing a white reindeer coat. That was an honor to have a white reindeer coat. So anyway, it was just a fun thing, and they enjoyed meeting me. And I stayed with my cousin, and she spoke very little English, but she knew every word to the song North to Alaska. So I learned a lot about their custom, and she showed us how to do a lot of the crafts, and I was so thankful that my daughter took interest in it, and she's better than I am at some of the crafts. So,
what kind of crafts were they?
Well, she is making a litany, which is
the litany.
Oh yeah, you're wearing this very colorful outfit. It seems to be some kind of
and
scarf.
The people,
yeah,
when they wear these
shawl.
Bright colors.
Shawl.
And they're in the snow, it's just brilliant because you have these brilliant colors on the white, 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 pristine snow. It is just breathtaking.
Yeah, your shawl is bright red. It has lots of, it seems to be embroidered with yellow and blue.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's made out of silk. It's a silk.
It's silk.
Yeah. And then you have, this is a more modern where they just had attached tassels.
All right, there are tassels, yeah.
But I was taught how to put the task or put the thread on and do a macrame knot, and you go all the way around. So it's a little time consuming, but we learned. Mom's cousin, I think of her as an auntie, showed us how to do weaving. They have these little boards, weaving boards, because the Sami would make their own trim for their
Gahdi. Yeah, and so there's a blue dress, and there's around the wrist there's this red, very bright red trim that matches the shawl and also the headdress or the hat. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me about the hat too?
The hat?
Yeah.
Yes, that's of course it keeps them warm, but it's very colorful. You can see them from afar off, and
each area has a different color and style of Gahdi. And some of the Sami in Norway wear a litany, others don't. And your hat will help tell what region you're from.
Okay, what does your hat say about you?
My hat tells me that I come from Kautokeino in northern Norway. And let's see, what else does it tell me?
You would know who your family was.
There were so many there. The historian said, everyone that's wearing these colors, you're related to. And it was just so breathtaking. It was just really something to take in. My cousins were just so kind and nice to me. I wish they were here. So,
could you kind of describe to me the role of the Sami people? Like, are they living in an isolated situation? Are they in a big city? Could you kind of describe what the situation is?
In Norway or in Alaska?
In Norway.
Oh, in Norway, well, we went to Kautokeino. It's way up north. It'd be like going to Kotzebue.
Yeah, you could compare it to Kotzebue.
So, and it was a smaller town. Well, about 2000.
There were a lot of people there when we were there, because twice now I've gone during the Easter celebration, because that's when they all come together, to celebrate together. Easter lasts for 5 days, and that's when all the weddings usually occur and the christenings and important things like that. So yeah. They're so happy to see each other and get together. They make a big to-do out of it.
Yeah. Traditionally, the rest of the year, everybody would be spread out and in their own herds, because the deer, they're semi-nomadic, so they would be going to their different...
Yeah, the reindeer move to different pastures during the different times of the year. You know, they have a pasture land for winter time, and then when it comes to be warmer and they're going to start dropping calves, then they go towards the water where there's wind, so the mosquitoes aren't so bad, because there's lots of mosquitoes.
And so reindeer are domesticated caribou, right?
Well...
They're cousins.
They're cousins. Okay.
It
depends who you talk to. I mean, reindeer herders will say, no, they're two different things. They are much smaller than a caribou. They have different markings. And Pearl, what?
The caribou are wild.
Yep.
The reindeer cannot keep up with the caribou. The caribou migrate for thousands of miles. The reindeer basically stay in one area, one region. They don't, like the ones in western Alaska, the caribou migrate from the Brooks Range out to Seward Peninsula and down below, I believe as far as near the Kuskokwim, am I correct? And the reindeer basically stay, the herds stay on Seward Peninsula, which is a very small area. And as she said, the size, the reindeer are much smaller. The reindeer cannot keep up with the reindeer. In 1997, the Western Arctic caribou herd migrated onto Seward Peninsula, and Seward Peninsula had, I believe, at least 11 or more reindeer herds at that time. Now they are down to 7, because when the caribou out-migrated back to the Brooks Range, some of the reindeer went with them, and herders lost all their reindeer. So the herds now are down to, I believe, 7 on Seward Peninsula because of the caribou.
They do interbreed, but it's very difficult, because if it's a female that's pregnant with a caribou baby, then the female could die, because a caribou baby is going to be bigger than a reindeer. And because they don't keep up as well, the reindeer will fall prey to bears, wolves, because they're much slower.
So it seems that reindeer they're bigger, they provide more meat.
Well, caribou are bigger.
Caribou are bigger. Okay.
Yes.
So what did Sami people use the reindeer for? Did they eat them? Did they milk them? Mm-hmm. Like, what was the situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they used them for food, meat. They used them for the dairy products. They used the fur. They make the most, they're cute and practical, but the reindeer boot has a little curl in it. Most people think of it as an elf boot, but reindeer fur is hollow, like a polar bear, so it's very, very warm. It's lightweight, and the curl in the toe, it has a special purpose. You have to think like 1,000 years ago, or if you don't want to time travel that far, think 100 years ago, or 200 years ago. And the Sami, they had to keep up with their reindeer herds. And the reindeer herds, when it was time to go, they would just start going. And so you would have to be able to collapse your lavu, your portable tent, and pack up and take off to keep up with your herd, because they didn't have the helicopters, the four-wheelers, and the snow machines. So snowshoes would keep you on the snow so you wouldn't sink, but you couldn't go very fast. So the Sami were the first to invent cross-country skis. So you would have your ski and you'd have your boot, but you'd have a leather strap that would go, and your boot would go in, and the little curl would keep the leather strap from sliding off. So there was your skis and your ability to keep up with your reindeer herd.
And what is the presence of reindeer right now in Alaska? Where are the different herds clustered?
I would think the highest concentration of herds is probably the Seward Peninsula. There are reindeer out at St. Lawrence Island. Mm-hmm. There's also reindeer at St. Paul Island. And there's reindeer at Port Hyden, which is on the Alaska Peninsula. There's, I don't know how much is around the Bethel area. Maybe you know more about the herds. Like, isn't there a herd on Mikoriak Island?
Yeah, on Mikoriak, more than
on
around
Nunavak
Bethel.
Island,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's out on Nunavak Island?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's a startup herd in Delta Junction. The native village of Stevens Village in the interior needed to have more protein because of the low salmon runs statewide, especially the king salmon runs, and their low numbers of moose. The villagers don't want to and can't afford to buy Western food all the time. They prefer their native food. So they started up a bison herd to help the hunters be able to bring home something to eat. Except bison, and this is in a confined farm in Delta Junction, the bison are hard to work with. And so they right now have a pilot of about 6 reindeer that they're working with. And they're in hopes of having many more reindeer be imported to Delta Junction so that the men can have a way to subsist off the land and not count on the high prices and eat more of their traditional food. And I do think that there are some non-natives that do have reindeer in Alaska. I don't know the numbers of where the numbers of reindeer that they have. I'm more familiar with the herding on Seward Peninsula and St. Lawrence Island.
Oh, there used to be a herd on Kodiak in Akiak. Oh, yeah. And that was brought here in 1922.
Mm-hmm.
But it was managed for a while, and then there was a big fire, and that herd dispersed. But there still are reindeer in the south end of Kodiak.
Could you talk a little bit about modern day herding and what that is like out there?
Modern day herding on Seward Peninsula. About 10, 20 years ago, they used to use helicopters, except that's very, very expensive. And some of the herders actually were pilots, so they were able to fly and use a helicopter. But nowadays, it's with the price of fuel, it's the profit margin really drops when you've got to use mechanized equipment like that. And they do herd. I know that Stebbins, St. Michael, they do bring in their herds. They also bring them in manually. They use four-wheelers. And they usually have volunteers from their towns that are familiar with working them to corral them and to bring them in, because they like to count their reindeer annually. Years ago, they did it more than once a year. But nowadays, I believe that they only count it once in the summertime when they have access and they're able to herd the reindeer into a corral. At that time, the University of Alaska Fairbanks has a program to where they give them a shot for brucellosis, which is sort of like rabies. And I don't know if brucellosis is the scientific name for it, but they get inoculated. Their ears, the reindeer that don't have markings on their ears, they get an ear mark, and they also get a tag. And each tag from each herd has a different color. So they're able to identify bicolor which herd belongs to, which ranger belongs to which herd, and then the tags are numbered, and they try to keep a list and of all the ranger that they have, and they separate out, count out the females, the fawns, the lone bulls. So they try to keep an accurate count every year, and they've got a really good system where they do that. And the Davis herd on Seward Peninsula is one of the first herds that I know in modern era where they're bringing their herd in, and they've kept their herd in their corral since spring. All the herd isn't in the corral because some of the herd were too wild to corral. So they've got, I think, about 60 or 70 at their corral about 11 miles out of Nome. And they've been working with them, and of course they have to feed them. And they're working with a dog to help herd the dogs in and out of the corral. And that's what's going on modern-day Alaska right now. And it's Bruce Davis, who's the Kuruk Reindeer Herders Association president. He's being very active, and he's really trying to work with young people in the area. And he has had for 2 years in a row something called a Reindeer Youth Summit, where he brings in students, reindeer herding students, attending the University of Alaska Northwest Campus. They're learning high latitude range management, which is learning how to herd reindeer. And so in the summer, in June, he has this gathering. It's called a Reindeer Youth Summit. They bring those high latitude range management students, as well as youth from the area and elders and specialists that know about eating off the land. And he puts on annually this summit where the young people, he's trying to work with the young people to get them to get more knowledge about reindeer herding, which is, if we don't do something, it's going to be a dying art.
Right. It looks like we only have about 4 more minutes. Is there anything else that you guys want to share? I know you're going to give a talk later this week.
Yeah, we were going to be at the Baranoff. I thought it was Friday at noon, but so we'll have an opportunity to share, and it's kind of informal. And then Saturday we'll be at the library at the La Vu, the portable tent thing.
Oh, okay. So, is that what that was?
La Vu.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the portable tent that the Sami would use when they were herding their reindeer.
Okay, what was it made out of?
Traditionally, it would have been made out of reindeer hides. And there wasn't a lot of trees available, so for the posts. So you would take real good care of what you had. And anybody else want to share?
Yeah, with the reindeer poles, they were very lightweight, so they could take down the tent, or La Vu as they called it, and they could put it in the sleds, or pulkas as they were called. They kind of like canoe-shaped sleds that the reindeer pulled, and they could put up a La Vu in 15 minutes, you know, and get it ready. And so there weren't trees everywhere they went, so that's another reason they carry the poles with them, because sometimes, you know, it's the trees weren't there to use.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. I'm sorry we didn't have time to talk about on the swim team, but we'll release a separate segment about that. But we've been speaking with some reindeer herder, some people who enlightened us about reindeer herders and the history in Alaska. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Thank you.